to a very special edition of the Hoffcast. This is episode 6. We are recording on Thursday, April 19th. It's a very special tax day miracle. I have finished my taxes, I assume, like a lot of you have, and I waited to the last minute. Not April 15th this year, because that landed on a weekend, so we got till April 17th. Then, on the 17th, boom, boom, the IRS website goes down, leading them to give everybody an additional day. Guess who took that extra time? Yeah, that's right. Your boy. I could have had him finished on the 17th. I mean, had it been the 15th, I could have had him finished then. But taxes are one of those things, especially if you are self-employed and have a lot of different 1099s coming in, a lot of W-2s and a lot of expenses and write-offs. You know, you can take a million years on those things. And especially for someone that doesn't really know what the hell they're doing, I'll take that extra time. You can give it to me, okay? Who, what kind of lunatics, I'm talking to you guys, does their homework early? And I would have hated that kid if it was like we had the big research project due. I suppose there were kids like that. They're like, oh, I've already finished mine, and it's not due till next week. You're like, you piece of shit. Like, don't do your stuff early. You wait till the morning of, and then you scramble like a madman, which is what I was doing. And I got him in. So owed a little bit of money. That's fine, because most of mine comes without taxes taken out, so I'm supposed to pay quarterly anyway, but who's going to do that? Not me. Not me, man. Dude, I hate taxes. Every year it makes me consider quitting comedy. It's just, and people say, Nick, why don't you pay somebody to do it? Just pay. Find a CPA. Because there's nobody that I could pay enough money to do this. I mean, I'm not organized. I don't have it all together. They'd say, how many miles did you drive? And I'd have to calculate the miles. So at that point, I'm pretty much just holding their hand while I do it, or they're holding my hand while I do it myself, which maybe is worth it, but it's also kind of embarrassing. They'll be like, well, did you track your expenses? As a matter of fact, I did not. Well, how much did you get paid for this weekend in Des Moines? Can't remember that. I have no idea. And so then I just am left scrambling through my files, trying to find old pay stubs, old records of emails. What was agreed on? What was it? Did I cash the check? Can I find it? I'll bet you, this is pathetic, I'll bet you there are checks that I lost. I'll bet you there's something, and not because I have unlimited money. I'm always looking for money. But I found, this was several years back when I had a day job, and then I was moving one year. It was 3 or 4 years after I had that job, and I found a paycheck I had been using as a bookmark in a book. And I looked at it, and sometimes you get the direct deposit ones, and it says this is not a check, but they still hand you a voided check. But this one, nope, it was good. And I was like, oh, damn it. It was like for $600 or something. So I was like, oh, can't believe I stuck this in a book. And now here I am, you know, 4 years later, calling the place like, hey, it's me. I found a paycheck. I forgot to cash. Can I get that money? And lucky for me, I'm friendly with the gal that was in accounting. And she's like, yes, I checked and it hasn't been cashed. So here you go. We'll reissue it because they void after 190 days or 180 days. I was like, I'm an idiot. I can't believe there was a paycheck. And at that time, I really had no money. So I can't believe I let that slide. I probably, ate bean and bacon soup for 2 weeks solid because I couldn't find that paycheck. So, I'm not the most organized guy. But every year, here's the problem. Here's a problem with having taxes due on April 15th is anytime I say next year, I'm going to do it the right way. But unfortunately, a third of the year is already over. And then I'm like, ugh, you know, now I haven't done it the first third of the year. You know, what's even the point? And so then I don't do it for another year. And I think January 1 of next year, I'll remember. But I don't. I don't remember. Who remembers that? You're hungover from the night before. So you're not doing anything right on that day. Sorry, I had to pause this. The kids were coming in. They wanted to hang out. They don't understand that once in a while Daddy does work. That was the other thing frustrating about doing the taxes, is the kids were constantly coming in and I'm like, why are you doing all this? You don't do this. And I'm like, I know that I do not. I know you don't normally see me with papers strewn about and trying to do math on a calculator. I showed Indiana, I go, look, here, see, I add this and then I had to divide by two. I do it on this little thing. And he goes, huh, I know math now. It's like, all right. I love the confidence, but not the understanding. God, I really hate taxes. Really hate taxes. And I was catching a lot of flack. Every year I wait to the last minute, then I have questions inevitably, and I post on Facebook. And everybody says, I knew you were going to leave it to the last day. Yeah, I do leave it to the last day. I resent taxes so hard. That's the brilliance of the government, is to take little by little out of each paycheck. Because if you had to pay it at the end, like I do, you would resent it so much. If you saw the giant sum that you had to give them at the end, and you just see it little by little, so like it's like somebody chipping away at you, and you just take it. But if at the end somebody just threw a haymaker at you, you'd be like, what in the hell was that? You can't do, like, I don't get that much out of it. It's like the government is a turd too, because they make you do your own taxes. It's like a bully stealing your lunch money, and then like, and also, and like makes you count it as you're like handing it over to him. It's not enough just to like reach in your pocket, grab till everything's empty, and then throw a sweaty wad of money, a sweaty wad of money. And Jack Nicholson, it's going to your parents for another sweaty wad of money. What a terrible Jack Nicholson. But you can't just do that. No, they sit there and they go, count it. Just like some sadistic puke. Just like making you count your shekels as you're handing them over to you. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, you guys. The fact that you pay, like, you work 5 days a week, and one and a half of those days is for the government. One and a half of those days just goes to the government. If I woke you up on any given Wednesday and like, hey, go work for the government all day, you'd be like, nah, dog, I'm good. But that's what you're doing. That's what we're doing. How is it possible? That is maybe the biggest thing that makes me conservative, that wants small government. Like, socially, I'm liberal, okay? Socially, I'm kind of like, you know what? We got to evolve with the times. But fiscally, I'm conservative as hell, because I look at what we spend as a country, and I'm like, yeah, maybe if we're in debt up to our eyeballs, we shouldn't be driving Lexuses. Maybe we shouldn't have the nicest of everything. People bitch about the roads. Yeah, well, we don't have money to fix any of this. We don't have money for all these things that we're doing, all these programs to pay all these politicians who work 4 years, and then they get a lifetime paycheck. It's ridiculous, you guys. That is what makes me the most conservative. I want small government. We're living beyond our means. We can't do that. I can't believe that we pay over one day a week. We work just for the government. It's ridiculous, you guys. And so anytime you think, oh, we can't cut this, we can't cut that, just think back to everything we're putting in and what we can do if we just volunteered a little bit of time rather than pay all this stuff. I live in a condo association that wants to redo all the flower beds, and meanwhile we're only like 20% funded, and they want to like poke down another 20% just so we can have new landscaping. I'm like, hey guys, landscaping right now is fine. In fact, quit watering it. Let it die. Like, we need to earn this money back. We need, as a country, to hit the reset button a little bit. We've gone way too far. We owe too much money. And that'll never be paid back. I don't even know why we keep calculating it. I don't know why China keeps lending it to us. Oh, God, why is this turned into this kind of tirade to start out as taxes? Because this is, it's a systemic problem, and that's what we're dealing with. So this is why I resent taxes. This is why I don't want to do it. They're taking our money and making us count it. They should have to at least count it. If you're going to rob me, you should at least do your own arithmetic. That's my 2 cents. And then I have to give half of that 2 cents to the government. So they get it. I was just in Canada. I was up there doing some shows with Cable Guy. We had a blast up there. We were in Grand Prairie. Had a good show up there, and then went down to Edmonton and had a good time there. We went to I love the people of Canada, man. I mean, people joke about it all the time, but they are the nicest people. And part of it might be the accent. Part of it might just be they come off nice because of that accent, eh? They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to find yourself a nice little a bit of weather up here right now, eh? And that, like, even, what would they say that's mean? Like, oh, you're in my way, eh? Like, that even sounds innocent. Get out of my way, eh? Like that, that sounds pleasant. I remember in Grand Prairie, it was before the show, and I was going to buy a beer, and I got in the line, and I ordered it, and she poured it, and I grabbed my credit card, and she goes, we don't take credit card here, eh? There's no difference, I guess, between the female and male voice. Oh no, we can't take credit card. And I was like, oh, here. And I grabbed my American dollar. She's like, no, that's American. We take Canadian dollars. And I was like, oh, and I'm not going to want to transfer. I'm only up there for 2 days. And last time I did that, I had to come back and then eat it on the exchange. And this guy right in line behind me, he didn't know who I was. He didn't know anything. He's just like, I'll get it. Here you go, man. I'll pay for his beer. And it was only like $6 or whatever, but this dude didn't know me from anything. I could have just walked away, but he's like, I get it. Oh, here you go, eh? Dude, nicest people in the world. And I ended up thanking that guy. And then he was at the show, and I ended up thanking him from the stage, and I think he was pretty happy about that. Hey, dude, Jerry, up in Canada, killing it, man. I think we're friends on Facebook now. Thanks, brother. That you didn't have to do that, but it shows your true colors, how nice you are. So that was incredible. And then we flew back to Scottsdale and played a round of golf there, which, guys, I'm killing it right now. Like, not score-wise, but I am hitting the ball a mile. Around the green, I'm still atrocious. I only get to play, like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 times a year. So I still suck. But I love golf. I wish I had all the time and money in the world to just play golf. The guys that get to do that a lot, I envy them. But dude, I'm crushing the ball. I'm crushing a mile, and there was a par 5, and this course we were playing has 2 greens on every hole, and they're connected. So you got like 75, 80 yards worth of green, and they put a flag stick up close toward the front. Those are the easy pins, and then they got the harder pins that are always back and like tucked in behind a bunker. And so the guys I was playing with wanted to do that, the harder pins, and we're behind these 4 older ladies, and we're on a par 5, and I crush my drive, and I'm about 245 yards from our green, which is about 230 yards from the easier green, but it's also about another 75, 80 yards to the left. That's kind of what it was. So the one guy, Patrick, that we were playing with goes, you can go ahead. I was like, yeah, I probably can, but what happens if I accidentally hit it at him? And I was like, well, that's 230 yards. I don't think I can hit it that far. It's not like wind was behind me. And Cable Guy's like, better not do it. You know, who knows? And so I wait, and these ladies are taking forever. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to hit him anyway. And I just cranked the ball, and it started to draw left, and I could tell it wasn't going to hit them. It was still like 15 yards to the right of them, but it bounced up onto their green, and the one older lady just stood there for like 30 seconds staring us down, just giving us the 100-yard stare from 230 yards away. And and I was like raising my hand like, sorry, And then I kind of went up there to apologize, but they drove away. Then on the next hole, cable guy's like, you better go apologize, man. So I drove the cart up there. And I was like, hey ladies, sorry. I didn't aim that way. And I didn't think it was going to make it that far. And the one older gal's like, well, you never should have even tried it. You never should have tried it. And I was like, I agree. You're right. I agree. I should not have tried it. I'm so sorry. I apologize. And she goes, well, hope you learned your lesson. I was like, yeah. And in that moment, I'm like, man, I wish I didn't apologize now. I didn't know you were going to be such a huge twang. And she drove away. And then these two other gals that weren't quite as old looked at me and they were like, hey, sorry about her. Apology accepted. Thanks for coming up. And so I was like, oh. Good Lord. I was like, can't believe that old hag. Like, I'm coming up to apologize. I don't have to do that. Like, it was an accident. It didn't come that close to them, and it rolled up on the green. It's not like I got it there on the fly. And that old bag. God, she must be miserable. She must be miserable. One of the guys we were playing with goes, oh, somebody ought to hand her a Bible and tell her it's time to cram for finals. Like, no kidding. God, how do you get that? At that age, you just got to be happy-go-lucky. I don't know why there are old, crusty people. Like, just dive in. There's no reason to be around if you're just going to be a pile of garbage. Like, just be happy. Just be one of those happy-go-lucky, you know, get a pipe, start smoking it. Who cares? You're toward the end. Just enjoy the ride out, especially if you got the money to golf at these nice places. You're not eating Alpo. You're not one of these old people that just on a fixed income, just barely scraping by. Like, get the hell out of here. You should be enjoying life. God, what a nasty old hag that was. I wish that was in Scottsdale, though. That never would have happened in Canada. In Canada, the lady would have been like, oh, yeah, you hit it up near us. And so I hit it toward the hole a little bit for you. I think such a good shot, man. You deserve to have a decent eagle putt. Like, don't want it to be too far away. Oh, man, I wish I would have met a really nice old Canadian lady. That would have been fantastic. So, yeah, Canada was great. Thank you to all my new friends up there. This will probably be the first podcast you're listening to. So welcome to the Hofcast. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to talk about all the things that happened in the last week and the things that are happening in the world. So taxes happened down here in America. That was a big deal. And so thanks for coming out to the show. And I'd love to get back up there and do more shows up in Canada. Let's see. Did you guys read about this guy in Colorado that buried his gold? Did you guys read about this guy? Like, it happened in 2010. I don't know why they're talking about it now. This old millionaire, he's an ex, like, army pilot, and he thought he was going to die, so he took $2 million in gold and hid it in the Rocky Mountains and put up a map with a poem that has clues in it. And I guess, like, thousands of people have gone looking for this treasure. Nobody's found it. Three people have died, which people are then accusing him of being malicious because people are dying looking for his fortune. You know, this happens, but it's, you know, it's something different. The poem, if you're looking for it, so the guy's name is, let's see, Forrest Fenn, F-E-N-N. What a badass name, Forrest Fenn. And he hid the treasure somewhere. He thought he was going to die, and he hid the treasure and wrote a poem, and now he's survived that sickness. But he's like, man, he's 87 years old now. So he did it 7 years ago. He's 80. And he said he did it alone. So it's not like some crazy mountain you have to scale. So he drove it somewhere and then carried it off the beaten path. But he was 80, carrying $2 million worth of gold, which cannot be light for an 80-year-old. So gold nuggets and precious gems. So that it's somewhere within a 3,000-mile mountain range. Dude, what a cool guy. What a cool idea. I wish more people did this. What a fun world this would be to live in if you, like, knew there were treasures strewn about. Former U.S. Air Force pilot and art gallery owner. He estimates as many as 350,000 people have gone hunting for the fortune. I think that's probably pretty high. But he said it could be found soon or 1,000 years from now. And so he... The poem's called The Thrill of the Chase, and it's got a little map of, like, the Rockies running through Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, and it's somewhere in there. Dude, and then here's the poem that he wrote that's supposed to give clues, like, not crazy, easy clues, but let's see, what is it? It says, as I have gone alone in there, so he's talking about how he's 80, and he put it out there alone. And with my treasure bold, I can keep my secret where and hint of riches new and old. Okay, let me make this a little bigger. It's hard to see. Okay, begin it where warm waters halt. So warm waters halt. I don't know what that would be. I'm trying to solve it out loud with you guys. Warm waters halt. So like a river that's flowing down from the mountain and it halts into a lake, but it's warm waters. So maybe it's, I think there's some like hot springs up there. So maybe it's something like that. And take it in the canyon down, not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown. So the home of Brown, like somebody named Brown. I don't know who that would be. But below the home of Brown. So I think he's giving us a hint that we don't have to look north of certain things, or at least not higher than someone's home. I bet you if you do a little research, you might be able to find what this guy knows and who maybe lived in the mountains, last name Brown. From there, it's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and water high. So it's got to be around water, because that's the second time he's referenced that. But he did say after, like, a kid drowned last year, looking, 31-year-old guy drowned looking for it. He said, listen, it's not buried underwater. It's not under some man-made thing. You don't have to crawl high. Like, there shouldn't be any danger to get to it. But he says no place for the meek. So maybe it's dark. Maybe it's like a cave or something like that. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down your quest to cease. But tarry scant with marvel gaze. Just take the chest and go in peace. So it's in a chest. So we've got that. So if you've been wise and found the blaze, what the hell does that mean? Like maybe that you can see the gold shimmering, something like that. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down your quest to cease. So you find the blaze and you look down and there you can find the marvel gaze. Take the chest and go in peace. So why is it that I must go and leave my trove for all to seek? The answer I already know. I've done it tired and now I'm weak. So yeah, because he's dying, he did this. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. So he talks about warm waters, but it's cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. This Forrest Fenn has inspired me. I'm not gonna go looking for this treasure. I don't got that kind of time. But you know, if I'm ever near the Rocky Mountains, I might take a peek. Or if any of you guys have any clues anywhere you think you heard that poem, you're like, I know exactly what this is talking about. Or actually, my grandpa is Forrest Fenn, and he used to drive me past this place and say, see over there? Lots of cool things over there. Like trying to drop hints. Maybe somebody knows him. This guy's commenting, given the few clues, I would start somewhere around the hot springs in Yellowstone, follow the streams that come out of them. Find the ones with the water turns cold. Somebody says he left Sears stock in bitcoins. It's hilarious. So if any of you guys are in Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, maybe you guys have some insight. Maybe you've been out on the chase, but it's called The Thrill of the Chase. So you can look that up and check it out. I thought that was kind of cool. It made me want to, like, when I'm getting old, like, make people jump through hoops to get my money. Even if it's just in my will and testament. I feel like there's been a couple movies, bad movies too, about guys that did that. But there's something to that, you know? something you didn't get done, something you want, a lesson you need your loved ones to learn, and you say, you can have the inheritance, but you got to do this to get it. seems like a cool idea. So, I don't know. That guy inspired me. I like this old Forrest Fenn. What else happened this? Oh, guys, the Southwest plane. Engine blew up. You read about that? I'm sure you read about that. Everybody's afraid to fly. I'm terrified. Terrified to fly, you guys. And this just exacerbates those nerves. So now, Southwest. And it came the same week out that Allegiant took a bunch of crap on 60 Minutes for being an unsafe airline. And then Southwest has an engine blow up. And I guess Southwest had an engine, the same engine blow back in 2016, but nobody was hurt. This one, a window got shattered and a woman died from the injuries. So it's getting a little more press, but I guess this happened back in 2016. Same exact engine did the same thing, but it just didn't blow out a window. So, I mean, Southwest is going to be taking some heat, I feel like. Anytime anything goes down like that, people go, oh no. And quite frankly, Southwest has the best ticket transfer and cancellation policies, but their tickets, at least from what I found, are not price effective. Usually by the time I'm buying a ticket to go somewhere, they're way beyond what other airlines are charging me. So I rarely fly Southwest. If you get to it early enough, I feel like they're worth it. But if you're buying late, unless they got some kind of deal, which maybe they do now, maybe they're like, oh, we got to do the engine blow up, pricing. So people will be like, you know what? This is unsafe, but I need to save the money. I need to say, that's what I do anytime I fly Frontier or Spirit. I know they're cutting corners everywhere. So, you know, what's to stop them from cutting a few safety corners as well? But I'm like, sometimes you're like, $36 to fly round trip to Kansas City? You know what? If it goes down, I get it. So you go along with it. So maybe that's what Southwest is going to do now. But it's horrible what happened to that lady. Like, she's the only one that dies on that whole plane, and they... At least as far as I know, they haven't come out with what happened. I assume the explosion caused certain injuries to her. And obviously a horrible thing. But the other thing is that Southwest, like, you pick your own seats. So now that adds another element. You're going in, you're like, oh, where do I want to sit? Where's comfortable? I don't want to sit by that guy. He looks like he stinks. But now you're like, you know, maybe I don't take one of these seats near the engine. If they got engines that are blowing up, maybe I don't want to be that close. Maybe I'll sit closer toward the back, like, so that I don't get hit. Because, yeah, I either want to sit toward the front or over the wing, not because it's in the middle, but, like, because, well, not because it's, like, closer than the back, but because over the wing you don't feel as much of the turns and the elevation drops and elevation increases. So if you sit near the wing, you don't feel that as much. But now you're like, well, engines are exploding, and I feel like there are only a handful of companies that make those engines. So you feel like most of them are probably right in there. I think they said it was GE. So you don't want to go down that way. yeah, you pick your own seat. She picked to be there, which now you think, man, that adds a whole nother element. I think Nate Bargatze had a really funny joke about picking your plane and, like, trying to determine, you know, is this one going to go down? Hopefully not. And, like, anytime he jumps on an earlier plane, he's like, ah, I paid 50 extra bucks to be on this as it's going down. Nate Bargatze, very funny comic. And that, now that's true. Now it's going to come to where you sit on the plane. You're trying to figure out, okay, if it's a minor thing, but, you know, only a few people get taken out, where do I want to be? Ugh. The next couple times I fly, it's going to be on my mind. I'm sure it's on everybody's mind. There was the one kid that was doing Good Morning America or something. I think he had to fly to New York to do that show. How do you fly the day after you're on a plane that has engine trouble? How do you even go about that? Good Lord, that'd be terrible. I wouldn't fly for years after that. I'd be like, you know what? Let me drive. I'd be like Travis Barker from Blink 182. Huge fan. He was in that plane crash that killed a couple of his buddies. And then I don't think he's flown since. I think he's like, you know what? I've got a show in Boston. I will leave on Tuesday and take the bus. Because, yeah, how do you even get on a plane after that? After you've had a near-death, like, I've had bad turbulence where I'm like, you know what, I'm going cold turkey. Like, after a night of heavy drinking, you're like, I'm never drinking again. You have a plane that almost goes down, you're like, nah, I'm not going. I'm sure there are people that are like, you know what, that was my one scare. That was it. What are the chances of me getting in another plane that has engine failure? Well, I'm not taking that risk. Ugh. I'm glad it wasn't worse than it was. I feel terrible for the one lady that was killed. She had kids and a husband. I've seen pictures, and I read, just looking at it here, and it said she was killed by blunt force trauma. So, yeah, she was the one sitting right next to the window and got partly sucked out. People had to pull her back, and she was in cardiac arrest when they pulled her back in. So, yeah, of course, you're hanging out of a window. You're getting sucked out despite having a seatbelt on, which it said she did. Yeah, you're giving me a heart attack. You're damn right. Oh, God, I do not want to fly again. Luckily, I'm grounded for a month. I'll be home for the impending birth of my third child, which should be, I mean, it could be any time. Still got a couple weeks left, but you know how that goes. So, wife and I are looking forward to that. And I'm sure this summer is going to be brand new jokes, finally having a girl. So I'm sure there's a whole new set of problems that comes with that I'm not really looking forward to. But, there are awesome parts about little girls that I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking, you know, the dudes are cool, but I'm sure a girl's going to bring a new dynamic to the Hoff family. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a good time. But in the meantime, I'm just doing shows around town. So if you're coming out to Los Angeles, you're in the LA area, hit me up, because I don't post a lot of those shows that I'm doing. Because usually when I'm here, I'm working on new material. So, you know, I don't need everybody to come out to hear that. I can work on it with the people that are at those shows that want to go to that comedy. But if you do want to come out and see what it's like to hear new jokes being crafted, hit me up. Hit me up on any way you can find out how. On Facebook. If you guys aren't friends with me on Facebook, then I don't know how you found out about this, but add me on there, Nick Hoff. Add me on Twitter, Instagram, any of that stuff. I try and keep it all different so that if you're my friend on all those different things, hopefully I'm keeping it unique enough across all platforms. You know, some people do like post to Instagram, then that goes to everything. Like, I don't need you to see it three times. So I'll just post this thing here and that thing there, and hopefully it gives people enough different stuff to be entertained. But I do post this podcast, you know, trying to get it up and running. This is episode 6. So anytime you guys, you know, listen to this, share it, rate it, that's a huge thing, okay? I can see the numbers. I know a lot more people are listening to this thing than are rating it. So I need you guys, if you haven't done that, take the 2 minutes to go to iTunes or Google Play and give it a 5-star rating and a review. That kind of stuff really does help, because they'll pump it out. So if you have not done that, if you think somebody else might enjoy it, you know, just take their phone and hit subscribe. You can't depend on anybody to do anything anymore. So just grab that. Get that going. Guys, I think there's going to be a bonus episode this week, so be on the lookout for that. I got my buddy Robbie coming on the podcast. We're going to talk about some things that are happening in comedy. So keep your eyes open for that. I'm sure that's going to come. And there'll probably be a few bonus episodes during this time when I'm not on the road. So keep you guys in the loop on what's going on. Definitely in the baby loop. And as soon as that happens, I'll let you guys know. So in the meantime, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you for subscribing and for giving it the old rating. And I hope to see you sometime down the road. Love you guys. Take care.